Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin. Each year, we have the honor of speaking with the newest international president. Now, in case you're wondering, our president is an officer of the Toastmasters International Board of Directors, a working ambassador for the organization. As a volunteer, he or she works with the board to develop, support, and modify the policies and procedures that guide Toastmasters International in fulfilling its mission. For the year 2025, our international president is Distinguished Toastmaster Aletta Rochow. Aletta is an Inner Life Skills Wisdom Partner and Certified Coach. She's an accomplished author and global speaker who has delivered training in 21 countries and works with clients all around the world. She also coaches TEDx speakers, helping them craft messages that leave a lasting impact. Aletta describes leading, coaching, and training as her happy place. She also enjoys walking, hiking, and occasionally running half marathons with a spirited group of women known as the Wonder Women. In August 2025, Aletta Rochow made history as the first person from Africa and only the 10th woman in 100 years to become international president of Toastmasters International. Her profile, Meet Aletta Rochow DTM, 2025-26 International President, South African speech coach makes history by Paul Sturman, appears in the September 2025 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Coming to us today from her hometown, Cape Town, South Africa, Toastmasters International President, Distinguished Toastmaster Aletta Rochow, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you so much, Greg. It's such a privilege for me to be here. I've listened to this podcast so many times, so it's truly an honor. Thank you.
Thanks for the endorsement. Well, first of all, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. It's an amazing journey, and it's not like any international president. When you joined Toastmasters, you had no idea that there was such a thing. And you couldn't have imagined it, but step by step, I went on this journey and had many, many people supporting and mentoring me along the way. And I'm very grateful and proud to be the international president.
Well, it seems that you're very passionate, but how does it actually feel to be in that top role, but also first international president from Africa and the 10th woman in Toastmasters history?
Wow, Greg. It's deeply meaningful to me to be the first international president from Africa for many reasons. Africa is a country or a continent that has obviously many countries, and many of them are poor countries. And people often overlook Africa and think, well, nothing exceptional can come from Africa. And they almost immediately go towards the more first world countries. But it's a continent of great talent, of incredible people, and to be representing them in this role and showing them that it's possible is, for me, reason for celebration.
Wow. Now, of course, it's the world's second largest continent. And of course, you're taking a big undertaking. How do you hope to inspire members from regions like Africa and other regions around the world that might feel overlooked or perhaps underrepresented?
I think I would just encourage them to take the next step. I always say that I've suffered from a condition called helium hand. And ever since I've been a child, if someone asks for a volunteer, my hand automatically goes up. It's like I can't help myself. I always volunteer. But that's the first step in leadership, is to raise your hand and say, yes, I'm willing. And then, of course, we have to figure out what it is we have to do. And there's a learning curve attached. But if you consistently are willing to raise your hand, the next step will become evident to you. And the return on investment comes after you've said yes, after you've raised your hand. So I wouldn't have got to where I am today if I didn't continuously just raise my hand and say, yes, I'm here. Tell me what I need to do. Help me do what I need to do. And please support me every step of the way.
I love that. Quite often in Toastmasters, you hear people being voluntold. I'd like to change that now and say, who here has a helium hand?
Exactly.
I just love that. I thoroughly enjoyed the article, and especially with the lead of the article, in which you made this bold statement with your wardrobe at the World Championship of Public Speaking and the convention. What message were you hoping to send, not just with your words, but with that presence?
That was a bold move. As you say, it took a lot of courage. I knew that was an opportunity to bring a bit of Africa to the stage. I consulted widely because South Africa in particular is a very diverse, culturally diverse country, and I wanted to make sure that I was getting it right. So I had a couple of ideas of what I could wear, and I sent them to some of the leaders in the district, and they very politely said things to me like, that's not something a married woman would wear. Then they kind of gave me other ideas, and I found this dress that I wore. I saw a photo of it, and I said, yes, I can do that. But wearing a headdress is new to me. And I kind of said to the person who'd sent me that photograph, I'm not sure I can do the headdress. He said, Aletta, you need to carry it off like an African queen. You need the headdress. So I literally had people from the two districts in Southern Africa giving me advice, sending me the intricate beadwork that I wore as well. So they helped me represent Africa that day. And that was just such an honor to do that and to have them with me every step of the way.
In the words of the late Steve Jobs, think different, which was one of the Apple slogans from many, many years ago. And that certainly applies to you. And in fact, your reason for seeking out Toastmasters is also an unusual one. Can you enlighten us a little bit about that?
Well, I have to confess, and I say it in a very joking way, that you know, I was always a confident public speaker, so I wasn't coming to Toastmasters to improve that, although, of course, I've improved immensely. But I joke that I was running away from my kids. I have three wonderful kids, and I'd have the privilege of being a stay-at-home mom for many years. And as I got older, I had a bit more time on my hands, and I was looking for something that was just for me, that had nothing to do with being a wife or a mom. And I'd heard about Toastmasters, but I'd never met a Toastmasters member. So I did my Google search, and two clubs came up, and I went to the one that was most convenient for me. And I was so lucky, Greg. Little did I know, I was going to a club that had been in operation at that time, 25 years. We've just celebrated our 40-year anniversary now. And it was a very successful club. We've been President's Distinguished every year for well over 20 years. And there was a depth of leadership there. There was a depth of just diversity of people. And the minute that meeting started, I knew I could learn. And I knew in that moment that I was going to join. And I've never looked back. I'm still a member of Cape Town Toastmasters, and I'm still learning every meeting I go to.
Was there something specific of that meeting that stands out vividly for you?
Well, it wasn't the welcome. They had just run a speechcraft course, and when I arrived, they were chatting to the people who had been in the speechcraft course. So nobody really kind of made me fussed over me or anything. But it was just one speaker made me laugh, another one persuaded me, another one was so articulate that I thought, I want to be like these people. So it was just the value exchange. In exchange for my time and money, I was getting this incredible learning and the entertainment. I mean, they were having a ball, and I wanted to be part of that community.
I'm not sure if you had a chance to listen to a recent episode where I interviewed past international director Monique Levesque-Ferro. And it was, in fact, her attendance at a meeting and a speech that a gentleman was giving that she was so enthralled, she eventually married him.
No, I didn't have that experience.
Your kids are always humoring you about Toastmasters. What does your family, and especially your kids, what do they think about what you're doing today?
Well, there's a mixture of being immensely proud and, of course, a lot of fun along the way. And, you know, my one daughter kept on saying to me, Mom, you're the queen of Toastmasters. And, you know, haven't you been president for years already? And things like that. They're very supportive, very proud. They always come to me for speech coaching, of course. And I also have to give credit to my husband, Rory, who is not a Toastmaster and has always just understood that this is something that feeds my soul and has been incredibly supportive over all the years. So I couldn't have done it without all of their support.
And of course, the voice, I chuckled when I read about that.
Yeah, the one when I left a voice message for her, she said, Mom, stop talking to me in your Toastmasters voice. Just speak to me normally. And it was another funny thing. I asked them to record a short video that was played at my inauguration. My one daughter said to me, Mom, how dare you ask me to speak about you in less than 2 minutes? So it was just, they really keep me on the hop. They are delightful children, and they challenge me and keep me amused. And yeah, I just love them to bits.
Besides your kids, what makes you laugh?
You know, I love being with people, Greg, friends, family. You know, I'm a member of a book club. We've been together for over 20 years. I've got my Wonder Woman that I run with. And just being real with one another. You know, we all have different experiences in life, but we all have challenges. And being there for one another and seeing the funny side of life, you know, just seeing something that happened this morning that made us all laugh, you know, it's just having fun with people. I can't imagine going through life and not having a good giggle every now and again or seeing the funny side of something. You know, life's too short to be miserable. I just want to enjoy every moment, and I do that around people.
As Dr. Ralph Smedley once said, we learn best in moments of enjoyment.
Absolutely.
Now, I walk my 10,000 steps a day. That's about maybe 7 kilometers. And I understand, Aletta, that you once hiked 30 kilometers, almost 19 miles. How did you do that in one day?
That was a big mistake.
Oh, I see.
It was many, many years ago. My husband and I were hiking in a remote area in South Africa, and it was the days long before GPS. So we had a map and we looked for kind of arrows on the footpath, and clearly we missed the map or we missed the arrows on the footpath, and we ended up doing 2 days hike in one day. So we ended up hiking 30 kilometers in one day. So it was not by design, and we were mightily relieved when we got to that overnight hut and we could finally rest.
Oh, that's amazing. Let's shift gears a little bit, Aletta. And you credit Toastmasters with helping you grow into a leader. I would love to hear from you. What was that, let's call it, pivotal moment when you realized, I can lead this organization to the highest level?
Now, I've always taken on leadership roles, even at school level. It was just always something that I enjoyed and gravitated towards. I was at boarding school for high school, and I soon realized that every time I raised my helium hand and volunteered for something, I could get out of the hostel more than most people. So leadership always opened doors for me. I'd been a Rotary exchange student, had an incredible year in North Bay, Ontario, in Canada. Leadership was something I gravitated towards. And I think as I took the next step, you know, starting off with club leadership, and then I fairly quickly, because I had a marketing background as a profession, I put my name forward to do district PR. That I hadn't been a Toastmaster probably for about 2 years when I did that. And bless my district, they elected me to that position. That year, our international president at the time, Pat Johnson, came to visit our district. And I got to plan her itinerary and travel with her. And I think without her or me perhaps realizing it, she probably planted a seed in my mind of, you know, what is available. And I just kept on taking the next step, went into district leadership and loved it, went to region advisor, absolutely loved it, ran for the board, got elected, and also had an incredible experience. So I just kept on taking the next step. And I didn't ever, think, well, that's my mission in life, to become international president. It was, let's take the next step and see where it leads. And at every step of the way, I always used to say to myself, am I doing this because it's the next step, or am I doing it because it's the right thing for me at this time in my life? And each time the answer was yes. So I often say that my Toastmasters journey, or becoming a Toastmaster, has been the most enriching thing I've done in my life. It's added incredible value to me, and I've loved every minute of it. It wouldn't make sense otherwise, Greg, to be honest, to devote this amount of time, energy, and passion to something that you don't get paid for, but you get a return on investment that is just, you can't put a price on it.
It's no doubt transformational. You say you like to find practical ways of making it easier to be a leader. I know for some of us, taking on a leadership role in Toastmasters, especially for the first time, can be very daunting. Can you share an example of something that is practical and easy?
Yeah. You know, the thing that comes to mind is one of the biggest learnings I've had is that when you're a leader, you've got things that you have to do, but you've also got a team you've got to lead. And in my experience, the better that team works together, the more the doing is taking care of itself. In other words, it's the being, how you get on as a team is even more important than the doing. It's easy to figure out what to do and get it done, but how do you get that team dynamic going? I learned in another leadership role I had outside of Toastmasters that the more I validated the members of my team, the more they wanted to do. We all thrive on validation. So finding ways to catch them doing something right, to really encourage them, to thank them, to... And I learned over time, you've even got to thank the people who disagree with you because they make you think more deeply. They challenge you to up your game. So I thought to myself, how do I do this? Because you can tie yourself up in knots and think, well, what leadership model must I follow? But to me, it was, how can I quickly and easily and regularly make a habit of validating my team? And the one way that worked for me that was the easiest was to send voice notes. So often I used to travel to district leadership meetings and then I'd sit at the airport waiting for the flight and I would just take out my phone and I'd just start recording voice notes and saying, thank you for this, thank you for that. I found that really worked well. So that to me is a very pragmatic way to give thanks to someone to validate them without it taking up a lot of time and also sometimes being a surprise because people don't always expect a voice note. And it's something very personal that you can give as the leader, which can really make someone's day. I know how I feel when I receive things like that. And it really is deeply meaningful and it inspires you to do more.
It's interesting you use the word validation and you call it a leadership tool. That's the first time that I've heard it expressed in that way, but it sounds that it can be very powerful. So I'm wondering, perhaps, could you share a moment when somebody validated you in such a way that it actually changed your path?
Funny enough, I was in my study the other day and I was going through a file checking what was in there. And I've still got a letter that a member of my home club wrote to me probably 10 years ago. And he took the time to just validate me as a person, the contribution I've made to the club, the way I'd validated him in some way. And he was a more senior member than me, so I certainly didn't mentor him, but we always had a great relationship. And the fact that he took the time to write that down, I've kept it to this day, and I can't imagine ever getting rid of it. So it's those unexpected moments when somebody comments on something you did or says how meaningful it was when you said X, and possibly you don't even remember saying that, but it resonated with that person, and they took the time and trouble to send you something like that. And those are the moments that feed my soul and you make your heart feel warm. And then the next question I ask myself is, if that meant so much to me, how can I pass that on to somebody else? Who can I validate and how can I validate them so that they also have that experience? Because it's something we do for one another. It's never a single direction. I think it's something that bounces back and forth between us in a team. But it's never just about receiving, it's also about giving.
Yeah, it sounds like they made it as a kind and appreciative gesture, not realizing the actual impact that those words had
on them. And probably if I had a conversation with Hugh today, he would probably not even remember writing that letter to me, possibly. I would actually have to ask him, but it really resonated with me.
That's awesome. Now, of course, you're a coach. And you're someone who helps people with executive presence. How has coaching others changed you as a communicator?
Really good question, Greg. I think what it has done, and I credit Toastmasters for this, the one thing Toastmasters has really helped me do is listen very intently and quite analytically, not only to what is being said, but to what is not being said. Or I often refer to what is the subtext of what they're saying. Someone will tell you they're really upset about this new process that you've introduced and it's not practical, but the subtext of that might be, why didn't you consult me? I feel left out. I'm going to resist this because I had no part in it. So that's one of the skills that Toastmasters has helped me hone, and I use it when I meet a new client for the first time to really listen to what they're saying and to listen to the unspoken parts of what they're saying to try and understand where they're coming from so I can meet them where they're at and then try and work on ways that we can go in the direction they want to go in.
And you learned this at a very young age. In fact, you described communication as a survival skill in your youth.
Yeah, I had a very nomadic childhood, I call it. My father was involved in mining and he was a specialist shaft sinker. So we moved quite a bit in South Africa to the various mines that needed his expertise. And then by the time I was five, we were living in Zambia. By the time I was six, we were in Canada. And then by the time I was eight, we were in Tasmania. So I was constantly on the move. I was always the one who was the kid with a funny accent, the one who came halfway through the term, that type of thing. I remember so vividly standing in front of my new classmates, and they were all strangers at that point, at the age of eight, and thinking to myself, Aletta, you've done this before, you can do it again. And I'd learned very early on that the best way to integrate into that new group quickly is to listen, find out what's important to them, and then have a conversation about that. And of course, if you got that right, you'd have friends at break time. And as an eight-year-old, very importantly, you'd get invited to birthday parties.
Right.
So I'd learned those skills. And then years later, when I started coaching, I suddenly realized I was teaching those exact same skills I'd learned as an eight-year-old to my clients. And it was just something I'd learned innately at a young age, but it served me very well ever since.
Wow. Now let's go from your childhood to your current career. And my understanding is that your career wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Toastmasters. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. My professional career, as I said, was in marketing management, and that was before kids. And once we started having kids, my husband was transferred first to America and then to London. So then I couldn't work. So then I was just blessed to be a stay-at-home mom. And then through Toastmasters, I started doing PR for my club. And I remember the day someone called and I said, well, this is when we meet. Come to our meeting. We'll have so much fun. And this lady said to me, I'm phoning for my boss. He's too busy to come to your meeting. Can't you help him? So I thought, oh, okay. So I said, yes, of course. And he became my first client. And he was a CEO of a group of companies, very successful businessman, but he was really unsure about speaking at his own 50th birthday party. And that's how it started. So he then hired me to come back and help him with some business presentations. And over time, other people got to hear what I did. And so many people through the Toastmasters network have referred me to people or have come to me themselves. And that's just how it grew. And then I went on to get a speech coaching certification. And now I'm busy doing other coaching certifications. But it just, yeah, it happened because of Toastmasters, but I discovered I loved it and I thrived on it. So I just kept on saying yes to any opportunity that came my way. And I love working in corporations, doing workshops for them, training youth. So any opportunity I get, I just say yes because I absolutely love it.
There's those helium hands again.
Exactly.
Now, I'm sure there's many people out there that are in that same position as that CEO. And out of curiosity, is there perhaps one thing that was holding him back from being able to speak at his birthday party?
You know, I think it was possibly that as a businessman, he had all the success in the world. He had all the authority. He had the track record, the credibility. With his friends and family at home, he was just who he was. And suddenly, all those credentials that helped him in the office weren't the same. He couldn't necessarily draw on those in that moment, in that more intimate setting. And he just needed someone to coach him through it. It wasn't as if he was incapable, but he needed to build that self-belief in that new environment. So each one of us has a different comfort zone. And for some people, the comfort zone is speaking to three people, but put them in front of 10 and it freaks them out. Or in his case, the business environment was his comfort zone, but the family environment was slightly different. And he just needed coaching through that.
Did you encourage him or try to encourage him to join Toastmasters?
No, I didn't bother. He's too busy. He's the chairman of a group of companies.
Speaking of trying to encourage people to join Toastmasters, in the article, you mentioned that what we really need to do is shift from selling Toastmasters to sharing it. What does that look like in practical terms for a member or a club leader or a district leader?
For me, Greg, the most important thing is to have a conversation. Imagine how somebody comes to your club. What brought them there? Because there's usually a reason. There's an underlying fear. There's a problem they're trying to solve. They're trying to get a promotion or they're trying to get a job or they trying to present to senior management, there's some kind of problem. And if you tap into that and share with them how Toastmasters can help them solve that problem and then invite them to join, then it's very simple. Often we get caught up in the weeds and we say things like, well, when you join, you can choose between all these different pathways. And, we give them too much detail. They just want to know, can you help them solve the problem? If you can make that link between their problem and us solving it and reassure them they've got all the support they need and we'll have lots of fun, then it's a sharing and serving approach as opposed to a selling approach. As soon as you tell someone you've got to sell Toastmasters, some people get deeply uncomfortable. And I've had some people say to me, you know, at our club, we ask people to come 3 times before we ask them to join. And I said, that doesn't make sense to me. It's like me going to a store and saying, I want to buy a microwave. And the person in the store says to me, no, I want you to be really sure. I think come back next week and see if you still want it. And then I come back next week and they tell me to come back the following week. It makes no sense. If I've come to your meeting, I'm already interested in what you have. All I'm waiting for often is an invitation. So share with me how you can help me, ask me to join, and then support me when I join.
Yeah, I've seen that happen in a few places, or I've been to clubs where you go as a guest and they'll say, well, you know, you might want to check out other clubs and see which one is the best fit for you. Mm. But at the same time, if there's somebody there who wants to join, there's no reason not to say welcome.
Exactly. And we live in an age of instant gratification. Most of us, when we find something we want to click and join and get the value straight away. And I think Toastmasters, we need to appreciate that. People want to join. They want to join now. And now's the best time because in 2 days' time, they might have forgotten or they lose enthusiasm. And then it's harder to get them back. So do them a favor. To me, it's a gift you're giving them. You're giving them an opportunity to transform their lives. So why would we hesitate? Why would we be shy about that? We know the value. So just share the opportunity, find out what they want to solve, show how we can help them and ask them to join.
That's sage advice. Of course, Toastmasters means different things to different people. Aletta, I'm wondering, is there one area that you think Toastmasters has an untapped potential for an impact on today's world?
Greg, I often get asked, what's your vision for the organization? And I think people are expecting me to say, well, we're going to have a new system or this new invention. And I say, my vision is that you and I see the opportunity that's right in front of us, and that we take action to take advantage of that opportunity. I'll give you an example. In Cape Town, there's a massive big building complex that Amazon is building at the moment. And every time I drive past that, I think to myself, you know, we could have at least one, if not two or three clubs there. It's so big. But then I always forget about it. And I think, well, somebody else will do it because I'm not the area director or the division director. But when I take ownership of that and try and contact Amazon and say, would you like a Toastmasters club? Can I send people to you to have this conversation? That is me taking ownership of it and not waiting for someone else to do it. When I hear people say, well, we can't start clubs, and I'm thinking, you know, we've got to see it differently. Can I find 20 people in this community who need what we have to offer? And it's very hard to say no to that because I believe that there's so many people who desperately need what we offer. So let's act as if it's possible and then take action on that belief. Instead of thinking of why it can't be done, let's think of why it can be done. So if each one of us looks around us, and whether it's your neighbor or your family member or somebody in your community, approaching them, taking action on it and inviting them to join, that is the biggest impact that we're going to have. It's you and I. It's not world headquarters of the board or somebody else. It's you and I.
Well, thank you so much for your sage advice. And folks, if you've gained some insight from our interview today, I encourage you to share this episode with your friends and family and fellow Toastmasters. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. And don't forget to read Paul Sturman's article, Meet Aletta Rashad, 2025-2026 International President, South African Speech Coach Makes History. And that appears in the 2025 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Aletta, before we end our conversation today, I would love for you to leave some words of wisdom or some guidance to kick off the Toastmasters 2025-2026 year.
Thank you, Greg. I think what I'd like to leave your listeners with is the fact that we are, each one of us, capable of far more than we believe to be possible. The way we develop that and step into that potential is by raising our helium hand. It's by saying yes, and it's by believing in ourselves and helping other people do the same. We're in this wonderful network of people who constantly uplift one another, support one another, and together we unlock potential we didn't even know we had. So believe in yourself, take the next step, and help someone else do the same.
Madam International President, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Greg.